Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me on today's show to talk about NBA second half action, as well as get you ready for NBA All-Star Weekend, is Rohit Pinnea. But first, it was opening weekend of XFL action, and I wanted to lay down a few thoughts.
This is the XFL!
I got my XFL betting juices flowing with a mini Big Mac Moneyline Parlay.
I see they got the Big Mac. I got the Big Mick.
I had Tampa minus 210 as well as Dallas plus 395 on Sunday. Tampa was a 5-point road favorite, and the line actually started at minus 2. So there's a ton of steam there. And then Dallas was a 9.5-point favorite. So I'm like, boom. What could go wrong with this? The sharps are on one side, and there should be a blowout on the other side. Unfortunately, both teams lost straight up. Woof.
Oh, what a loser.
Giving a quick recap of XFL action, the favorites went 2-2 against the spread. Over-unders, 1-3 with a lean towards the under. Home favorites, 2-1 against the spread. And home dogs, 1-0 against the spread. From a betting standpoint, there's still a ton that we need to learn about the XFL. But fundamentally, I'm going to continue to use the same principles that I use for my NFL betting. There will be value on the under because everybody wants to root for the over. No one sits there and is like, well, NFL season's over. Oh, there's a new league. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to start betting all the unders in the new league. Just isn't going to happen, which means that's why there's value there. As for the favorites versus the dogs, there's still a lot to be determined on who's good versus who's bad. I'm not ready to say I'm taking one side or another because you would say, oh, all right, I'll just take the team getting the points like we traditionally would in the NFL. But there is an opportunity that some of these teams are really bad, so I'm not ready to go there yet. I would like to say that I will be looking at live betting as an option, if it is an option, as you can actually go a little bit more with what your eyes see, because as I was watching that Tampa game, I knew I was on the wrong side pretty much immediately because they looked like trash.
You pooped in the refrigerator.
As for some random thoughts on what I did like, I really loved the idea of kickoffs and how they executed that. I think that's something the NFL should definitely implement. I loved the transparency in the booth for the replays on penalties. This is an absolute no-brainer. Why do we need to be secretive about this? I would love the ability to be able to hear what the referee is talking about and thinking about as he is diagnosing it in real time. I really enjoyed seeing college players that I know. I feel like as someone who follows college football and NFL, I had an advantage. I saw that Nelson Spruce was straight crushing by halftime of one of the games. A lot of people are like, who in the world's Nelson Spruce? And I'm like, that dude was a catching machine at Colorado. So I know some of these players. I love seeing Cardale Jones balling out. I love seeing former NFL players. I'm a Steelers fan. Shout out to Sammy Coates and Eli Rogers for getting some catches. Plus, most importantly, it is something else for us to bet. And we'll bet on virtually anything. So if I get to bet on football with some players that I know and a lot of fun little wrinkles, sign me up for it. And I'd love to hear from you. Did you bet on the opening weekend of XFL? If so, how did it go for you? And or what are the things that you liked or did not like about XFL action? You can hit me up on Twitter, at Rob Cressy, and let me know.
If you smell what the Rock is cooking!
Before we get to the games, from our friends at Covers Experts, here's an exclusive offer for the Sharp 600 listeners only. Get 25% off any Covers Experts product when you use promo code SHARP25. Take advantage of this limited time offer. Save a little money and follow the pros all the way to the bank. Again, that's SHARP25 for 25% off any product.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
And joining me to help you be a more informed better about the NBA is Rohit Pinnea, analyst and writer for Covers.com. You can follow him on Twitter at covers underscore row. Rohit, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Rob.
So there's three different things that we're going to jam about today. And the first thing that we're going to start with is post-NBA trade deadline title odds. So if we're going to be throwing a few jelly beans down on, all right, who's looking good now, who might have some value, and I think there's two different ways I want to break this down. Let's start with East versus West, because right now the Bucks are the kings of the East, looking at DraftKings plus 300. And then the next closest team, we've got the Sixers at plus 1,400. So there's a huge gap right there. And I'm curious, the Sixers are a team that going into the season were only seen as marginally behind the Bucks. I think the Bucks are plus 500 heading into the season. The Sixers are plus 650. So we've seen a big regression by the Sixers. Do you think there's value on the Sixers knowing their preseason expectations and their top-end talent?
Honestly, I don't see it. The one thing they've been missing is outside shooting, and I don't think that's something they've really addressed. I don't think adding Al Horford in the offseason really made much of an improvement to them across the board. Losing Redick hurt, losing Butler hurt. I really just don't think this team is as strong as they were even last year. And I'm surprised they're not lower. I think right now they should be probably valued right around the same as the Raptors. I think at plus 1,400 might be a tad too high for them.
Looking at the Raptors, they're at plus 2,500, and they're actually the only other team that I considered in this because they are currently riding a major winning streak. And when looking at how in the world are they making this happen, and I think I was listening to Zach Lowe's podcast where he talked about, listen, they replaced Kawhi's production with Pascal Siakam elevating his game. Yeah. And then they replaced Siakam's production with a myriad of other people. And then all of a sudden you look and holy smokes, this regular season Raptors team is as good. Of course, come the playoffs, that's a different story. But at plus 2,500, if we were looking for anybody other than the Bucks, does that seem like a good potential bet?
I think so, especially coming out of the East. I mean, once you get into the finals, it's going to be a nightmare for anyone going up against whatever LA team they face. But I think coming out of the East, I think the Raptors definitely have a chance. You look at the Bucks, and yeah, they have Giannis Antetokounmpo, who's probably the best player in the league right now. But beyond that, they have a strong supporting cast. But I think that supporting cast, I think you look at them and you compare them to the Raptors, and I think the Raptors can hold their own. And I think essentially, you look at the Raptors team, they have five guys averaging over 15 points per game. I can't ever remember a team doing that before. So that's pretty cool. They have a lot of scoring from a lot of different positions. And I think that definitely will help them in the East. Once they get into the finals, that's another matter. I think it's going to be really hard against either the Lakers or the Clippers. I think they can pull out the East for sure.
Could we use a hedging mindset with this, just saying, hey, can we bet whoever's going to come out of the East and then immediately know that we want to hedge it based on who comes out of the West?
I think so. I think that's a great, like, that's a great way to look at it, because when you're kind of looking at the overall scheme and how you want to bet money and bankroll moving forward, you want to put money on the team that you think can give you the most bang for your buck at the end of the day. And that might not necessarily be the team that does come out on top. But if you get on the Raptors, you get them kind of ahead of the curve right now when people are still sleeping on them. And then all of a sudden, if they make it to the NBA Finals, that's a fantastic hedging opportunity for you.
Could we get a positive bet if we took Raptors and Bucks? So Bucks being the favorite, we're like, all right, there's a good chance there. So at plus 300, Raptors at plus 2,500. Of course, that's no guarantee there, but I would think that doubling our chances going into this might be an opportunity for us to get some plus money.
Yeah, I think your margin gets a little bit tighter there because the Bucks are, you know, a little bit like at plus 300. It's not quite as wacky out there. I think the fact that the Raptors are valued so low is kind of what makes them such a great hedging opportunity. Whereas the Bucks, all of a sudden, you're kind of thinning your margins a little bit more when you're betting on a team that's favored like that.
All right, so let's look over at the West, and it's really the two LA teams. We've got Lakers plus 275, Clippers plus 300. Is there any value in saying, you know what, I'm just going to take both of these teams?
I think so. I think if you think the West's going to come out on top, and I think around the league right now, I think that's a big feeling, is that you constantly see the Bucks undervalued. I mean, now they're at about plus 300, but for the longest time of the year, they were just had the best record in the league. I think they're at one point, they still might be on pace to set the record for wins in the league. and they're still valued lower than the two teams coming out of the West. So I think ultimately, I think people don't see them having the star power, I think, to hang in a seven-game series. And I think you do have to keep in mind that this team was pretty much the exact same last year, except they had Malcolm Brogdon, and they couldn't quite get over the Raptors. So can they get past the Lakers, or can they get past Kawhi in a Clippers uniform now in a seven-game series? And I'm a bit skeptical myself. So I think, yeah, I think betting on the LA teams would, there is definite value in kind of taking both of them and expecting one of them to be able to pull it off.
So when looking at value, one thing that you hear often is, oh, the Jazz and the Nuggets, they're such good value at plus 2,000 or something like that. But then I just think about it and I'm like, do the Jazz and Nuggets ever make it to the finals in terms of like where we're currently constructed, that both LA teams aren't going to win, and are the Jazz and Nuggets like, they're good, not great. And if we're going to be playing these title odds, these aren't great teams. So do you think that is, there's plenty of losing tickets with tons of value, and that's sort of how I see this Utah-Denver side of things.
Yeah, and I totally agree with that. I think that's one of the biggest kind of problems in the NBA is there's not really, once you get to the very top, there's not a whole lot of parity. I mean, the idea of, like, those teams are good all-around teams, but unless you've got those bona fide upper echelon superstars, you know, the LeBrons, the Kawhis, you're not going to be able to win. And the LA has two on each team. And it's pretty hard for a team like Utah or Denver to hang in a seven-game series like that. I mean, they're a good team. They're a good playoff team. They, you know, could even get to the Western Conference Finals. I don't see them getting the finals for either, like, either of those teams. They just don't have the star power. And so much of the NBA now, you need that kind of elite player to kind of put you over the top. No offense to Don Mitchell, Rudy Gobert, but they aren't quite at that level. Joker is pretty close to that level, but he doesn't do it on both ends of the court like someone like LeBron or Anthony Davis or Kawhi Leonard do.
Well, yeah, and I think that the challenge is game is on the line. Jokic is a great player, but he's not this necessarily closer despite us seeing him make game-winning shots. He's not that got-to-get-a-bucket guy.
Yeah. Totally. And I think the other thing to keep in mind, too, is the NBA, I mean, most leagues, but especially the NBA, you look at the top teams and they play so much better at home than away. This is another problem for Philadelphia. Philadelphia is terrible on the road. But yeah, Denver and Utah, also much better at home than on the road. But they're not going to have a better regular season record than the Lakers. And so once they play, and if they end up playing against them in the playoffs, they're going to be playing four games on the road. And they're not good enough on the road to be, winning enough games to win that series.
All right, so let's get to how to bet the second half of the season. And is there any difference in terms of strategy from your standpoint on betting the first half of the season versus the second half?
I think the big one is motivation. I think that's always two big ones. Big one's motivation, and that's something that will kind of morph as the season goes on. You'll have teams kind of give up on their year. You'll have other teams that kind of want to build towards the future. We have some teams that have young, hungry guys and kind of want to get a few wins now. And so I think you can kind of see that building up to the All-Star break. You can see Grizzlies are hungry. They're young, they're hungry, they're fun to watch, kind of getting doing a lot better than I think a lot of people thought, and kind of on that playoff bubble. And I think that's one team that holds a lot of value betting on them moving forward. But a couple teams that are near the bottom of the league, like the trade deadline was interesting because you see a lot of these the bigger names of the trade deadline all ended up on some of the worst teams in the league. You saw Clint Capella go end up at the Hawks. You saw, Wiggins go to Golden State. Sounds weird saying that Golden State's one of the worst teams in the league, but they are this year. But you look at those teams, and those bad teams, they're not playing for the future. They would like a few wins now. They're trying to build something going forward. So I think there's a lot of value. You look at teams like Atlanta moving forward on the spread. Overs for Atlanta, too, because they can't play defense, but they can fill up the bucket when they want to. But I think Atlanta has a lot of value. I think Golden State, I don't think, has as much value. I think people are still hoping they're going to get back Curry and Klay Thompson soon. I don't think that's going to be happening. I think in their best interest to shut them down. But I think you have a lot of value kind of going with those young, hungry teams that are motivated. And then also looking at some of the teams that just aren't motivated, are going to be playing all their young guys just to give them playing time and just are kind of tanking. Cleveland's one team that you just kind of see tanking. New York, the Knicks are just awful. They were, they traded probably their best player in Morris. Apparently Randall was on the trade block too. So I think the Knicks are one of those teams that just no motivation there. I think you can kind of bet against them just about every night if you want to.
I have an under season win total on the Knicks bet, and I believe they won like four in a row or something, or something stupid like that. Like, yeah. I don't follow the Knicks at all except for via the ticker. That's sort of how I do these win season bets. And I actually have the under on the Bucks season win total, which going into the season, it's a gigantic number. It's something, I don't know, like 65 or I don't even remember what it was. So generally I'm like, I'll chalk it up once it gets later in the season. It's like, and the butts on this historic 30-2 start. I'm like, oh my God. And then the Knicks, I'm like, four in a row. How is this possible? They're supposed to be terrible.
Yeah, no, they'll go back. They'll regress again. I mean, this team's just awful. And I think you go through a few stretches where you're winning, but they'll drop back down to earth pretty quick, I think.
So I'm curious if, we know that motivation is a factor, and then these younger players are coming in. I have to assume Vegas knows this with their lines. It's not like all of a sudden they're like, oh my God, I didn't realize that there's a bunch of crappy players on the team right now for the Knicks. Like, how much of that gets baked in? Because when we oftentimes look at public perception, do we have to go like a next level deeper, or is it sort of a fundamental thing? Because I would agree with you. I would love to bet against crappy teams, but guess what? Betting against crappy teams is not how you become a successful sports bettor over the long term.
Yes. Well, I think a big thing with that is, Vegas is going to start adjusting, but you can often grab these teams before Vegas kind of makes those necessary adjustments. I think the Grizzlies have been a big example of that. People have been sleeping on them the whole year. They've been a great bet pretty much the entire season. The Mavericks earlier on in the year were a great bet when, you know, the odds makers still hadn't quite given them the credit they deserve. So you can get on these teams and kind of, once Vegas starts adjusting and realizing which teams have given up and which teams are still hungry, then, you know, maybe move off them. But jump on those bandwagons while you can, because Vegas is always going to adjust eventually. They are pretty damn good at what they do. So it's just a matter of figuring out kind of what's trending at any given moment and jumping on that for as long as you can, enjoying the ride.
You mentioned Atlanta overs. What's your mindset for over-unders? Because, of course, being Joe Public, we're like, oh, Atlanta overs, sign me up for that. But once again, it's not always that easy because everyone knows they don't play defense. We know Trae Young can make a shot from half court. So how should we be thinking about over-unders in the NBA?
That's the thing. And, like, you can see that if you've been betting NBA overs over the past few years, the numbers are just astronomical this year. There is a when the Rockets were playing the Wizards over Super Bowl weekend, the number was, I think, or the Rockets playing the Pelicans, I think it's 245, something absurd like that. And I think there is a tipping point where you kind of lose your value on your overs. And anytime you approach that 240 number, that's a big warning sign. But I'd say for a team like the Hawks, as long as you're not playing a team that plays at an exceptionally slow pace, anything around that, you know, 225, 230, 232 mark, I think that's a solid overplay a lot of the times, especially when they've got Trae Young, John Collins. I think Capella's going to be helping them with rebounds. And yeah, I think they're, you know, a good over bet as long as you're not going crazy with those overs.
All right. And then last thing on this would be opportunities in live betting. So in the NBA, there can be gigantic swings. A team can be down 20 and then literally 5 minutes later, they're up one and you're like, what in the world just happened? And I'm bringing this up because this year, the big victory for me was the acknowledgement of live betting in football, both college and NFL, where you're seeing these swings and the ability to capitalize off of them. But knowing that the NBA with a three-point shot can have these totals and these spreads made up in like a matter of 3 minutes, is there a live betting strategy that we could use advantageously?
I think the best one is generally just sticking with the best team when they're down a few points. Because, I mean, a lot of teams, you know, like you said, it's a game of swings. And the best teams in the league just have a tendency to, you know, go on a couple big runs throughout the game. And there's a lot of value, especially if you're actually, like, watching the games where you get all the value. Because most of these books have kind of an algorithm, which is, you know, baked in based on, you know, how many points are being scored. And they're not actually following the game. So if you're actually following the game and you notice, okay, every time the Clippers sit Kawhi Leonard, they, you know, fall down points. And actually that happens with the Bucks a lot. Giannis comes off the floor. And they, you know, they'll kind of like let up a few points and then he comes back on and all of a sudden they go on a run. So kind of watching for that, waiting for a guy to, you know, a big player to come off the court for a bit. And right before he comes back on, maybe, you know, see where the line's at and jump on that. That's kind of the best way to do it.
All right, last thing. It is NBA All-Star Weekend in Chicago. I'm actually in Chicago, so I'm super excited for it. But more importantly, it's another opportunity for us to bet on some things. Yeah. We got the All-Star Game, Slam Dunk, Three-Point Contest, and Skills Challenge. And let's start with the dunk contest right here, which we got Aaron Gordon, the favorite, plus 115, yeah. Derrick Jones, plus 180, Pat Connaughton, 375, and Old Man River, Dwight Howard, at plus 475. Aaron Gordon previously put on one of the most electric shows we've ever seen there. We know Derrick Jones can throw down. I have no faith in Dwight Howard whatsoever. Yeah. Do you have any thoughts on the slam dunk contest?
I think I'm kind of with you on that. I mean, Dwight Howard, he's a long way past his prime. Doesn't have the bounce he used to. He seems really eager to put on a show, which is great. I'm glad that he's like one of the few older guys that really wants to, you know, put out a show in the dunk competition. But I don't see it. There's a reason Pat Connaughton's ranked with better odds than him to pull it off. I think, it's a two-man race. It's probably going to be Gordon or Jones. Both of them, I think, had the best dunks in their previous competitions. They didn't win the competitions, but, Gordon's dunk was just unreal. Jones had an amazing dunk too, I think in 2017, just an unreal dunk. It'll be fun to watch. I think either of those guys are good. I really like the value on Jones at plus 185. But yeah, I think betting on either of those guys, you're getting good value, because I would be shocked if Connaughton or Howard pulled it off. Although, I mean, Brent Barry shocked me a long time ago, blast from the past, but Brent Barry was someone that came out of nowhere, and I was like, what's he doing in the slam dunk competition? Ends up dunking from free throw line and winning it, so who knows?
My least favorite dunk contest ever. Just, I do not recognize that. And the thing to zoom past the slam dunk, so Aaron Gordon is going to have the electricity factor. No one knows who Derrick Jones is, but everybody knows what Aaron Gordon can do. Dwight Howard isn't bringing that. This isn't 10 years ago. No one wants to root for Dwight Howard, but the second they say Aaron Gordon's name, that place is going to light up, and that is a real thing. So I agree the value on Jones, but I would lean Gordon because of going into it hype. Let's move on to the three-point contest here, and I think this is a little bit more wide open. We got Dame Lillard plus 350 as a favorite, all the way down to Zach LaVine at plus 1,000. And for me, if I'm going to go into this, the way I'm breaking it down, you can simply look at their percentages of three-pointers made. And right now, Duncan Robinson, plus 700, leads the field at 43.9, followed by Davis Bertans, plus 600 at 42.9%. It's very easy to say, oh, let's go with Dame Dalla. He's going to be rapping. He's got an awesome shot. He's on fire right now. But he wouldn't be the first favorite to not do it here. So for me, I'm more likely to go on some of the guys with the higher odds.
Yeah, no, I'm completely in line with you there. I think there's a lot of kind of inflated odds for guys like Dame and the kind of those better known superstars. But you look at last year, Joe Harris ended up winning the competition, right? Kind of a lesser known guy, but a 3-point specialist. And it's definitely a competition where, you know, those specialists, it's their chance to shine. You know, the Bertans, you know, he isn't getting a lot of publicity, putting up 15 points per game for the Wizards. So, you know, this is the chance for them to really show out. And I really like his odds. You know, you said he's hitting 43% of his threes this year. Hit 43% of his threes last year with the Spurs, too. He's very consistent, great stroke, and just great value with those odds. I mean, like, even someone like Lillard, he's a great three-point shooter. But you actually look at his percentages, and, you know, they don't blow you away by any means. He's not a Steph Curry kind of shooter. So, yeah, I kind of love the underdog plays in those competitions.
And then lastly, the skills challenge. And you actually, I mentioned to you, I was like, listen, this doesn't interest me whatsoever. And you're like, but hold on, not so fast. You have a nugget that can actually be interesting for us.
Yeah, well, the biggest one is about 4 years ago, they started inviting big men to the competition. So a lot of the taller guys. And your first thought is skills competition. These guys aren't going to be the best guys there. They have been. So you had two guys that were had the worst odds to win the competition. You had another guy with the second worst odds to win the competition. And then last year you had Jason Tatum at plus 600, and he ended up winning the competition. So there's actually a lot of value in this, because almost every year it ends up being a huge underdog that ends up winning. This year it might be a little bit different, because you have two guys that have Tatum who won last year. You have Dinwiddie who won the year before. So, I mean, they have kind of done this already. They know how to win this competition, so that might be a factor. But I think once the odds come out, take a good look at some of those guys that are sitting further down, It's going to be a bit of a homer play for me from up here in Canada. But Pascal Siakam, I think, could really put on a show. He's really improved his game in every facet. He can handle, he can shoot. I think he's someone that'll probably be, you know, near the bottom of the odds list, but I think it's a surprise.
Yeah, and it looks like Siakam's at plus 550, and then all the way down there, Bam Adebayo at plus 900. Might be a jelly bean just because.
I like it. Yeah.
So, Rohit, I really enjoyed jamming with you about the NBA. Are there any plays, leans, or anything else that you want to leave us with right now?
No, I mean, there's just a lot of great stuff heading down to the wire. I think big thing for me moving forward is kind of seeing how the Rockets play now that they're completely small ball. This is going to be an interesting one to watch for and try to figure out how good this Rockets team is. Because they could go out there and score 140, or they could, if they're three-pointers off, they could just be terrible. So that's one instant fade for me moving forward.
But that's a very interesting nugget right there, because they're probably doing this for the playoffs. They've got to get this figured out right now. So there's likely to be some high variance, which when I see high variance, I see opportunity.
Exactly.
So Rohit, where can everybody connect with you?
Best way to get me is at Twitter, covers_ro. That's covers_RO. I'm available there. I give out some of my best picks, lots of college basketball action. So heading down to March Madness, that's a great way to kind of message me. Let me know what you're thinking.
And I want to hear from you. Will you be betting NBA All-Star Weekend, or do you have any NBA title futures bets? You can hit me up on Twitter at Rob Cressy, and make sure to use hashtag Sharp600 and be part of our community. And also make sure to tag at Covers. And we love the positive feedback you give when you subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. If you show us love, we will show you love with a shout out on the show. And remember, if you want to be a sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management.
What's wrong with it? The Brokadelic Devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rump. If you like the way the sound pumps, pump it in your back trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.